God's ministry for women. We've taken a long time with the things that we've done today, and so I will try to be cognizant of that as I preach today and cognizant of our time and where we are in that. But I turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and three verses from Titus chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. The book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. Now, there are two divisions of women in this passage of Scripture. There are the aged women and the young women. I make no attempt to identify you with either group. I will leave that to a self-identification, okay? Okay. I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to point out the responsibilities in the ministry in each position. And I will say this. In the Word of God, the culture, the time, everything that's going on in the time that it was written, and I hesitate to say this, but really the aged women were those whose children were old enough that their children had left home. Now, we don't generally associate it with that. And I know some of you that, some of you are in your 80s and your children are still at home. I understand that. But you understand what I'm talking about. Okay? Okay. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You would not think that would need to be said, but it's said here. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Boy, that's not politically correct, is it? That the word of God be not blasphemed. First of all, the instructions for the aged women. There is a general rule, first of all. Then there are three specific things. But the three specific things do not cover all of life. And so there is a general rule that is given in verse 3. Now, this is the general rule. Did you ever hear anyone say, this is what we do? That as a general rule, this is the way we do it. As a general rule. And it means this is kind of a standard we go by. It's not identified specifically as 1, 2, 3, this, black and white, just cut and dried right there, just like that, you know. But it's generally the rule, what we do. And this is a guideline that we go by. The aged women, that their behavior be as becometh holiness. In other words, if there is something questionable comes up, it's not a matter of, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Oh, yeah, it does. Our behavior is to be as becometh holiness. Now, the word for holiness there is the same word that is used for the thrice holy God. The word, I think, that could have been used but was not would be godliness or godlike. Godlike in your behavior. That characteristic of God that kind of oversees and is the guideline for all of the character of God is holiness. Is it godlike? Is it holy? Is it conducive to exhibiting the character of God? Wow. Now that's the general rule. So if there's something that comes up in your life and you say, well, I don't know a specific verse that applies to that thing, okay, then revert to the general rule. The general rule is this: behavior that becometh holiness. Now he gives three specific things, only three. First one has to do with your social life. In your social life, do not be false accusers. Simply stated, that's don't be a gossip. Gossip is generally preceded with this. Now, I don't mean to gossip, but that's what it's generally preceded with. Not false accusers. In other words, there are not things that are said that would cause a person to be hurt. And generally, it's in a false way. It's either false in the actuality of the thing that is reported or said, or it is bad in its motive. You know, first of all, if you're going to say something, it's got to pass some standards. First of all, is it true? Second of all, is it hurtful? Now, if it's true but hurtful, you just ought to refrain from that. Particularly if you enjoy the hurt that it'll cause. And then, is it necessary or helpful to say it? Is it helpful? Does it bless? Does it encourage? Is it something that will edify, that will build up, that will make stronger? So this has to do with social life, interaction, and relationships. It has to do with that. The next thing, be not given to much wine, has to do with habits of life. Now, this is not necessarily in this reference right here. This is not necessarily intoxicating beverage that's being referred to here. There's not a difference that is given clearly in the Word of God about that. The grapes are referred to as wine. Grapes are referred to as wine in the Bible. Whenever the Bible talks about grapes, it's all part of the vine. It's all part of the vine. And everything that's part of the vine is referred to as wine. Whether it's an intoxicating beverage or whether it's simply grape juice, it's referred to as wine in the Bible. And the word that is used, the Greek word that is used, is the same Greek word for both. So whatever it means here, it has to do with habits of life. Now, may I say this also? Whenever he's talking about this right here, you have to understand that in that day, wine was a medicinal beverage. It was something that was given for health. In fact, is Paul exhorted Timothy, take a little wine for your health's sake. Timothy was being so careful about his testimony and about how people perceived him and about his witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul had to say, Timothy, take your medicine. Take your medicine. Don't neglect that. Don't neglect that. So this has to do with habits of life and patterns of life. And the third thing that is mentioned here specifically in this relationship to behavior as becometh holiness. First of all, this matter of your speech and relationships, and then habits of life, and then ministry. Be teachers by word and by example. I don't think the Bible needs to say by word and by example, because to teach by word and not by example, the Bible always calls hypocrisy. And so to teach by word and have your example to be different is hypocritical. And so the Word of God, of course, is against that. So by word and by example, teaching is done. And it's done to the young women. And it's done for the young women. So the second thing we have are these instructions from the older women, the aged women, the woman who is older than this woman. Okay? So probably all of you have someone who is younger than you are. So let it apply wherever, okay? Remember these instructions that are given here and to be given from the older to the younger are by example and exhortation. By example and by word. Probably the most effective part of that is example. But of course, it needs to be by word also. And then we have given here a number of things in this passage of Scripture. First of all, the older ladies are to teach younger ladies to be sober. To be sober. Now, that does not have to do with not being intoxicated. Doesn't have to do with that. That's not even a consideration here. That's not even something that would be here. Although it could be included in that. I don't think it's something that is even in consideration here. This has to do with being serious about life, the future, and your responsibilities. Be sober. It's not all giddy and laughter all the time. It has to do with sacrificing the future on the altar of the present. There's not much attention given to it now, but it was some time ago, and perhaps still is, though it's not said much, some mark of distinction within the homosexual community. It was a distinction to have AIDS. And there were those who were trying to contract AIDS because they said this: once you have AIDS, there's no limitations to what you can do. You don't have to be careful anymore. So just go ahead, have the disease, and live it up. Now that's stupid in many ways. But that was the argument that was given. Now, I use that extreme illustration to bring the truth of this matter of be sober. They're to be taught to be serious-minded about life. Does that mean you don't have any fun? No, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. It doesn't mean you don't laugh, you don't enjoy life, or anything like that. It's just that you're serious about this matter of your life and about the future. You give some thought and consideration. It has to do with responsibilities and what's going to take place in the future. The second one has to do with your devotion. Love your husband. Love your husband. First of all, you love God, of course. That's the general exhortation to all of us. This is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's the first and great commandment, Jesus said. But here, the older women are to teach the younger women, love your husband. Love your husband. That devotion to God, that devotion to the husband, and then to love your children. Love your children. One time a lady had a number of children, many of them. And somebody said to her, which one do you love the most? She says, I love the one that's sick. Until that one gets well, and then I love the next one that's sick until they go. Or the one that's away, I love them the most and miss them till they get home. And then when another one's away, I love that one the most. What a beautiful truth from the heart of a mother. To love your children. Their life, and what this is saying, your devotion. Teach the younger women to center your life in your home. Center your life in your home. Too many people, husbands, wives, young men, young women, even older ones, do not know how to be happy at home. My wife is happy at home. I say, honey, why don't you go with me while I'm going to preach there? She said, are you kidding me? She just likes to be home. She likes to be home. I had to learn that. Whenever I was a teenager, I was on the move a lot. On the move. I was out and gone. I mean, you know this. If you come here to church, you know my favorite age of all my life was 16 years of age. That's 16. That was it for me. When I arrived there, I got my driver's license. I figured you got a lot of freedom and not much responsibility at all. And you know, that was the ideal age for me. I didn't want to be 18. I didn't want to be 21. I want to be 16. 16, that was it. I asked the Lord to let me be 16 in heaven. And so... But young women need to learn to be center your life in your home. In your home. Not center your life outside the home. I'm a pastor. We talk about the summer, what are we calling it? Day camp. Day camp, the announcement that Aaron made. We talk about other things and activities and going to Chattanooga to knock on doors, and we talk about things here at the church and responsibilities and everything like that. And sometimes we say it like this, and I understand what we're saying. Center your life around the church. Understand that. But really, ladies, and I'm a pastor and I want you involved here, but don't let your church activities take away from your home life. Now, you won't hear a pastor say that very much. But I want you to understand that. Don't let the church take away from centering your life in your home. I've known people that I think, though they were greatly admired in the church, and rightfully so, I think they used the church as an excuse not to have to be at home. Don't let that happen. That's not the way God intended it. Learn to devote yourself to those responsibilities that God has given you in the home. The next word is discreet. Discreet. That has to do with sensible and self-controlled. Teach older women, teach young women how not to fly off the handle. How not to lose control of their anger. To lose control of their emotions. Learn them, as Paul said, learn how to bring your body under subjection. To bring your mind under the discipline of the Word of God. To learn these things. To learn these things. To be discreet. To think that thing through before you act on impulse. My mom used to say, count to 10 before you say anything. Whenever you get fly up and get mad, somebody says something and you want to back at them, count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Pretty well, it's gone. It's gone by that time. Then you can make a sensible reply. Number four. The fourth word is this: chaste. Chaste. Teach them how to be chaste. Older women, teach younger women by example and by word how to dress in a morally pure way. Teach them how to talk in a morally pure way. Teach them how to be morally clean, morally pure, innocent is meaning in that word also chaste. And innocency. Our children today know too many adult words. And you hear little kids saying things. Blasphemous things. Vulgar things. And you wonder, where did they hear that? And the natural thing is they hear, because they're words that I don't think are really even used on TV. Where'd they hear that? They heard that around adults. They don't even know what it means. They know it's wrong, but they don't really know what it means. God help us, I hope they don't know what it means. Older women teach younger women to be pure in their conversation, to be pure in what comes out of their mouth, to be pure in the way they dress, to be clean in their moral life, chaste, keepers at home. And really, this word keepers is a military term. It's guards. Women, teach younger women to be the guardian of the home. Now, I'll preach to fathers next month. But today, I preach to you women. Be guardians of the home. Keep a good house. Keep the place happy. Now, the mother is not the thermometer in the home. The kids are the thermometer generally. But the mother's the thermostat. The mother's the thermostat. The mother sets the temperature. She sets the temperature in the home. The mother does that. You say, maybe I don't think it ought to be like that. Well, maybe it ought not be like that, but it is, okay? Here in the church, there's a master control on the thermostats. Now, we got thermostats everywhere. That's so if you're too cool, you can go over and push the button and change it. But they're not hooked up to anything. I'm kidding about that. I heard about a preacher that did that. But if you want it cooler, just go over and punch it. Let's make it cooler, and I'll make you feel cooler, see? And but the mother is the thermostat. She sets the temperature in the home. Teach young women how to do that, how to set a good, comfortable temperature in the home. Next word I move quickly is good. Good. That's a general condition of the whole situation. This is the general character of God. You know, we sing the little song, God is so what? Good. Yeah. And sometimes a preacher will say, God is good. All the time. Yeah. Good. Good. With all that implies, it'd be amazing what it'll do for you in Bible study if you just take these words down through here and go look them up in a good dictionary. I'm not talking about learning the Greek. I'm not talking about learning all these things that go along with it. That's good and that's fine. But if you just take an English dictionary, look up the words, get all the ramifications of the meaning of these words down through here, whenever it comes to discreet and chaste and good, and then obedient to their own husbands, which is another military term. Obedient to their own husbands is a military term. It means in the order of command. Well, I don't think he's any better than I am. It doesn't say he's any better than you are. You probably know more of the Bible than he does. You may be more devoted to God than he is. Without a doubt, there are privates in the army who are better at war than the sergeant over them, and especially the corporal and generally the general. But there is a chain of command that has to be followed. And whenever something goes wrong and things start being sorted out in a military court or in some kind of investigation, you know where it falls? It falls on those in command. And I'll talk about that next month when I talk to the men. But here is the woman's responsibility. It doesn't mean anybody's better than anybody else. It doesn't mean anybody's smarter than anybody else. It doesn't mean anybody is more spiritual than anybody else. It would be nice if it were like that. It's simply there is a God-given order in the home, just like there's a God-given order in government and in the community. Let's say I'm sitting here in the office and somebody calls and says, so-and-so's been rushed to the hospital with a heart attack, and they're going to wherever, to Sanford to Fish or wherever they're going, and I get in the car and I'm going to go meet the ambulance there, and I'm going down the highway, and it's a 35-mile-an-hour zone, and I'm doing 60, and all of a sudden somebody behind me says, woo, and I pull over, and he comes up to me. I roll the window down, he comes up to me, he says, sir, do you realize how fast you're going? I say, sir, do you realize who I am? I'm the pastor of Volusia County Baptist Church. One of my members has been rushed to the hospital. And I've got to get there, and I've got to meet them and have prayer with them. Don't you know you ought not stop me? Don't you? He said, wait a minute now. Now, who knows more of the Bible, him or me? I know more of the Bible than he does. Who's older? I'm older. I know I am. There's no officer on duty as old as I am. Does that mean he's better than me? No. It just simply means there's an order in this thing. And he will say to me, I don't care if you're the Pope. You're not going to drive like that on this street, or there's going to be other people going to the hospital. And you're going to be going somewhere else. It's just an order. And any society has to have order, and God knows the church has to have order, and the home has to have order. Government has to have order. The universe has an order. God is an orderly God. In the way he does things. Do you know that the secret to promotion is obedience to the higher rank? That's the secret to promotion. So keep that in mind. Okay, now here's the intended results. And I finish right here. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what that means? That means so people don't say, well, I know that church down the street, you know, they talk about God and they talk about the Bible and all this kind of stuff, but I want you to know right now, I know some of them, they live like a devil. So that does not be said. I says, women, aged women, younger women, this is what you're to teach, this is how you're to be, this is what you're to learn, so that people do not blaspheme the word of God. Now that right here is not talking to the men. That's talking to the women. That's a pretty heavy responsibility, ladies, that you behave yourself as becometh holiness. Holiness. And then it gives the outline of those things that are to be done. Behavior as becometh holiness, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, how can you do that without being a born-again child of God? How can you do that without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can't do that, because you can't do that on your own. That has to be God in you doing that. And the only way to have God in you is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way you can have it. But whenever you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, then how does it happen? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. By knowing the Word of God. All of these things that are involved.